Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Royal Ascot Postcast for day four. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a Fab Friday card are tipping royalty in the form of Racing Post betting editor Keith Melrose and none other than the mighty Tom Siegel. It's great to have Pricewise on board. He's been banging in the winners already this week. And joining them, Paddy Power's super shrewd odds compiler, James Ryan. Now then, first up, a quick apology. We had a technical hitch yesterday. Well, it was more than a hitch. It was a bloody disaster, which meant we couldn't get the Thursday postcast out. However, we've rushed this through. We're going to get this out before racing starts on Thursday. And to make up for the calamity that was yesterday, I'm going to quickly ask the boys for a couple of tips each on the Thursday, and then we'll get stuck into the Friday card. So, Keith, if you could just give us a flavour of what we were talking about yesterday, because there was a couple we were very sweet on in the last two races, weren't there?
Yeah, the big one, I think all three of us on the call yesterday were heavy on where it was Finest Sound, who's been punted since for the Britannia. The gist of it was that people look for group horses and handicaps as a cliche, but Finest Sound's already shown that he is one. The Haydock run was a performance of a horse that, I mean, it got an RPR of 96. It could have been £10 higher than that if he'd been asked to stretch out. And a straight course, big field, he's only going to settle better. He's drawn pretty well in 17. Absolutely everything's right. He is now 11-4. That's getting on for the right sort of price, but we were all very, very sweet on him. The other one that I quite liked that I put up that is still a price is Highland Chief. I made the point that his Chesham run last year, virtually everything that finished round him is now rated about £10 higher, but he isn't. And he's in this race today, the Golden Gates Handicap, the first race, off 101, which, if he's as good as that, Chesham suggests, is not at all an insurmountable mark.
Okay, so Keith goes for Finest Sound in the 410 and Highland Chief in the 115. Tom, give us two of your finest selections from today. Now, obviously, it's rained, so I don't know whether that's going to mean that some of the tips you've put up in the paper you're extra sweet on. I think you were banking on rain anyway, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, the forecast was terrible. I live down the road and it's not stopped raining. It's still raining now. I would imagine it will be soft. I like Sir Dragonette in the second race to Wolverton. I just think
150.
Yeah, I just think that people are so quick to write off horses. He was fifth in the Derby, beaten less than a length. He travelled better than everything, including Logician in St. Ledger. Just think he's a top class horse. I think mile and a quarter on soft ground is perfect for him. I think he's better than them. He's the first one, and each way, I just think the Gold Cup is if provided eight turn up, I think it's a great each way betting race. I don't like Stradivarius on the back of a really hard preparation. He must have had a really hard race at Newmarket. They broke the course record. He put his head in the air when he was chasing Gayeth, and I'm against him. I don't trust Martin Mead to have technician right up for a 2.5 mile race first time up. I just don't. That's the way I feel about these races. I think it's all about preparation. So therefore, I'm looking for an outsider, and I think Jamie Osborne, who has a brilliant record at Royal Ascot, is Mekong, who's about 50-1, 33-1. Can easily hit the frame. He wasn't far behind Stradivarius in Champions Day last year. He missed the break, missed it by about 10 lengths. He was only beaten six. So it's asking a lot for him to win, but I think he can hit the frame if all rate run, and I think he's a great each-way bet.
Interesting. I think Jamie Osborne had one of the few horses to run well from a low stall on Wednesday. I think, was it Raising
Correct,
Sand?
Correct, yeah. Raising Sand won his side by miles, yeah.
He did, yeah, that was interesting. Okay, and James, give us two for Thursday before we get stuck into Friday.
Yeah, the 115 Ascot Pet HMS President, I think, is fairly overpriced here. And we're also one of the only firms that have kept the five places here, even though there's been a good few non-runners. I just think his maiden run would make him look like that mark off 82 is very good. The Yarmouth run last time out, the form has worked out pretty well with body line and Group 1 power running pretty well yesterday. I just think off 82, he's going to be a big price for Eve Jansen Houghton. Accidental agent ran a blinder the other day. A horse is in good form. This was a Derby entry up until a couple of weeks ago, and Eve Jansen Houghton wouldn't enter too many horses in the Derby. So I think off 82, off 8 stone 2, gives him a right chance. And Finest Sound then, the 410, I think he's fairly thrown in, as Keith already said.
Okay, thank you, chaps. If you're listening to this after Thursday's racing, they've all got beat. Don't worry, keep the faith. They are very, very good judges. And here we go with Friday's preview. And we'll start with the 115. It's one of the new races. It's the Palace of Holyrood House Handicap.
Oh, it's Bruce.
What?
Bruce. It's in Edinburgh. How can you get that wrong?
What did I say?
Holyrood House. Have you missed the Y?
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. Holyrood House. Handicap. No less. Oh. I've gone right 5 furlongs. Oh, my God. I don't know where I've gone there. That was South African. Anyway, it's competitive. Tim Easterby as the favourite. James Ryan, spin through Paddy Power's prices.
Yeah, Art Power for Tim Easterby is favourite, 5-2. Will to win, 6-1. Maystar, 10s. Keep Busy, 10s. Dancing in the Street, 10s. And 12-1, Barry.
Coming in, Keith. Away you go.
Yeah, it's not a race that makes a lot of appeal as a betting one. To me, Art Power could, I mean, you watch that Newcastle race and think a mark of 97 is too low, so he could just smash them up. Anyone who wants to put their laces through him, I wouldn't put them off at all. Not particularly for me in a 22-runner race where every horse I look at, I go, well, that could be a bit better than that. That could be a bit better than that. So I wouldn't be going heavily in on myself, but you could just pick them up and carry them.
Okay. Tom, what are you going to be working on the basis of for Friday? Because we've obviously got a pulse of rain to work through on Thursday, but then it looks fairly clement for the last 2 days, doesn't it? So do you think soft and drying is roughly the order of the day for the last 2 days?
I think probably the one thing you've got to bear in mind is that there is a lot of rain forecast this afternoon, thunderstorms around. If they hit one, well, I had one here yesterday and I'm not that far away. It must have been 10 mil in about 20 minutes. So if you get one, it could be really soft by the end of today. As for tomorrow, I think you're right. I think it will dry out quite quickly. Always does on the straight track. But looking at the going stick for the round course today, it was 5 point something. That's quite soft. That's pretty soft for the round course. But the straight track's a totally different kettle of fish. So I don't think it'll be too bad. I agree with you. I think Keith's got it spot. I think Art Power could be a class above. I think it's probably one of the worst Royal Ascot races ever because it's just not a very good race. But I think Art Power is probably the proverbial group horse in there. If you're looking for one at a huge price, and I'd be just going on soft ground horses at the moment. I think any horse by Showcasing, the sire Showcasing, they love soft ground. So Simon Crisford's got Will to Win in there. And Show Me for Richard Farr, he's about 40-1 shot. He was third in the Malcolm last year to Liberty Beach, who ran so well in the King Stand earlier in the week. He's a type of horse that will like soft ground. He'll be finishing well. 40-1, I might throw a few quid at him.
Lovely. James, who do you think is going to win the Palace of Holyrood House Handicap?
Yeah, it's probably going to be hard to beat Art Power, but I'm going to take him on with Keep Busy, who has, it looks like that draw on the high side will hopefully still be good tomorrow as well. And she's drawn 21. Won Ashanti last year on heavy ground, ran really well at Sandown over 5 furlongs. This stiff 5, I think, would suit her because she's run well over 6 last year as a 2-year-old. Kieran Fallon takes £3 off. I just think, you know, with the way the ground is, the draw, she should jump out. And John Quinn, obviously, Liberty Beach ran a blinder the other day, so his sprinters are in good form, and even El Astronaut last week. So I just think she could run well at a 10-1.
Okay, and James, just quickly on the draw this week. I mean, we've seen a definite bias, medium and high, really, really suited. Is that a track bias or is that jockeys all coming across? I mean, it looks like it's genuinely favoured this time. I'm always fairly dubious when people say Ascot has a bias, but would you agree that definitely looks like you need to be drawn middle or high here?
Yeah, I know when we were pricing yesterday that we were taking into account, but sometimes, like with Ascot, when the rain comes or something like that, it could end up evening it out or having a slight difference, but we're still taking it under account that there's still a bias here today. But
I'm not.
Okay, Tom, I was going to ask you and Keith what you fancy. Tom, how are you going to interpret the draw?
Well, I just looked at the Royal Hunt Cup. 5, 11, 12, first, second and third. They were middle to low. The point was they came over this side. I think they'll all come over to this side, but I think, you know, 10 off the rails, not a problem at all. So it's not like you have to be 20, 24, 25, you know what I mean, right on the rail. I think there's a strip probably of 20 yards that might be better than the far side, but that means that everyone will come over. And as you saw in the Hunt Cup, track 11 beat track 5 beat track 12. It didn't seem any bias there to me at all. So while it might be quicker on this side, I just think they're all going to congregate here, and there's 10 or 20 yards, as I think, that's fine for all of them. So I'm not worried about the draw at all.
But surely that you don't want to be over that far side, do you, Keith? I mean, sure. Yeah.
But no one's going to go over there, Bruce.
That's it. The ground will be fresher eventually. If it gets soft and everybody keeps coming up the near side, there's going to come a point where that ground's not the any advantage that was there won't be there anymore because it'll get churned up potentially if it gets really soft. So I'm not going to, I'm absolutely with Tom on this. I'm loath to take the view that there's always a draw bias anyway, like yourself, Bruce, and I just think there will come a point where it might not apply anymore if it gets wet enough.
Yeah, and I think we've seen time and again, Tom, haven't we, that everyone goes, oh, you've got to be this side, you've got to be this side, and then something pops up, doesn't it? And everyone's like, oh, there isn't a bias after all.
Well, that's right. And as I say, I mean, the William Haggis horse yesterday was drawn five, wasn't he, in the Hunt Cup? And, he, you know, that what they'll do is he'll come over to the, they'll sort of slowly draw over to this side. And, you know, it's not like we've got 35 runner fields or 30 like in the Hunt. Do you know what I mean? They're smaller fields at the moment. They're only 24 or 25. It's a bit of a difference. You can come over and make up that ground. So I wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay, let's move on. We've got back-to-back two-year-old races next, start with 150. It's the Albany. Four fillies over six furlongs. Wesley Ward has the jolly here, James. Take us through the betting and then tell us who you think will win.
Yeah, we're in MBS in this race as well, Bruce. So if you're second, third or fourth, for a tenner stake, you get your stake back if you finish in those positions. And Flying Alita is a 130 favourite, followed by Mother Earth, 7-2. Satari, 11-2. Golden Melody, 8. Willabelle, 8 and 10-1 bar. I'm really taking on the Wesley Ward horse here. I think this will be double figure price and come towards the off. Like, she ran a terrible speed figure. It just didn't look a good race. She's not a good mover. She's by Tisna. I can't see her going on the ground. There's not a whole lot that would appeal to me from that filly selection. Mother Earth for Aidan. I just think it's a kind of classic Aidan O'Brien kind of filly. Just she'll improve massively for her opening mark. It's a pretty tricky race in measuring these up. But I just thought the way Wayne kind of gave her a lovely introduction run by 70 out of a green Zoffany out of a green desert mare, she should go on the ground. I just think there's probably a whole lot of negatives with her, and I'm just keen on taking on the Wesley Ward one.
Okay, Mother Earth for James Ryan. Keith, who are you going to side with here?
I'm absolutely with James on opposing the Wesley Ward horse. There just hasn't been the same aura about that Ward's group this year, has there? A lot of them haven't actually won their prep races in America, and Flying Alita was the second string in that race at Gulfstream, where she beat Lime. The second was a 2-5 shot from Ward's yard, and yeah, I can totally see why you'd want to be against her, and indeed I am. She's taken out quite a bit of the book. I'm preferring Golden Melody, the William Haggis horse. She looked really, really green at Haydock, but travelled all over them, 1.25 lengths going away. She is bred not to necessarily be just a sharp two-year-old, even though she's by Bilardo. There's a bit more stamina on the dam side, so I can see her keeping on developing. She'll definitely learn from the experience, and 8-1's a pretty good price.
Okay, and Tom, you're sort of race this.
Yeah, love these races. Agree entirely with the boys. I'd back both of theirs that they said, Mother Earth and Golden Melody. I'm a big pedigrees man, and on soft ground, I think you want, you know, this is going to be a stamina test for these two-year-olds, six furlongs on soft ground up the Ascot Hill. The William Haggis's horse is bred to love soft ground. It was soft at Haydock. I think she'll stay really well. I like her at 8-1. And Zoffany, as James said there, he's got a great record in soft ground. Zoffany horses does. And I was taken by Mother Earth's finish at, was it Nace? I can't remember where it was now. Nace or Navan or wherever it was the other day. And I thought the two of them stood out against the field, really.
Excellent. So James goes for Mother Earth. Keith goes for Golden Melody. And Tom goes for both of them. Excellent. We move on to the 225, which is the Norfolk Stakes. For two-year-olds over five furlongs, James gives a show of betting.
Yeah, Eye of Heaven is 7-4 favourite. Lipizzaner is 4-1. Golden Pal, 9-2. The Learjet, 6-1 and 8-1 bar.
What have you sussed here, Tom?
I'm sussed. I want to take on Eye of Heaven. I think he broke the track record, didn't he, on his debut at Newmarket, and was really impressive. And Mark Johnson's been around saying that if we'll be disappointed if this horse doesn't win. He said, you normally come to Ascot hoping for winners. He said, we'll be disappointed if this one comes second. But if ever there's a horse bred for fast ground, it's Eye of Heaven. Exceeding sell out of a Chamadal mare. That is just all fast ground. So on soft ground, I just, you know, if the ground is as I expect it to be, I've got to take him on at 6-4 or whatever he is. The Wesley Ward horse, he got beaten on his debut too. He did say in his preview that if any horse was going to win, it would be this one, Golden Pal. And this one is very well bred. But like you say, that like Keith was saying earlier, I'm not sure that the Ward horses have had the same great preparation that they normally have for this meeting. And they don't look as good as they have been in the past. So it's wide open for me. I'm not actually sure what I'm going to go for. I thought Aiden's horse might run well, Lipizzana. He's been beaten twice, but he's had a couple of runs. He's going to be perfectly conditioned, is what I like to, how I like to call it, for the race. And there's not that many you can fancy in there. Not a great fan of the Learjet either, although his time was quite good at Yarmouth. But I wouldn't be convinced by that form. So for me, Aiden might win this with Lipizzana.
Okay. James, what's your view of the likely Norfolk winner?
Yeah, it's Lipizzana for me as well. Very similar to what Thomas said there. I just think this horse, even at the fast start Rockmare, it'll stay. It's run over the 6 furlongs. He has a bit of knee action as well. He just went to the front too soon the last day and had a bad draw, but everything was kind of coming up the inside rail. He was wide the whole way, and Shamey just kind of really hit through the furlong pole and then kind of got caught late from what was a very well-regarded horse in a Jessica Harrington two-year-old called Lucky Vega. I just think Aiden's going to have this lad, you know, he's had the two starts. He has the experience. I just think there'd be a lot of improvement. And similar to what Tom says, I haven't. If the ground was good for him, I think he'd be very, very hard to beat after setting the track record the last in. Obviously, that form was Frank yesterday with tactical winning. But I just think Lipizzana here could take a step forward again. It could be hard to beat.
James, just give us a little bit of a kind of novice's guide to the knee action again. So if you're looking at races and you see a horse and it really lifting the knee up, what does that tell you in terms of preferred ground conditions?
Yeah, exactly. So that would be kind of, he'd like a bit of cut in the ground. And not necessarily all horses want a bit of cut in the ground when they have the knee action, but in general, they tend to go on it a bit more. When Aya Heaven, kind of even looking at the way he moves, he kind of has a more kind of daisy action kind of cutting, where he's kind of real low to the ground. And most of them really want fast ground because they get across it really quick and they can kind of get stuck in a slower ground kind of race. So Lipizzana has that bit of knee action. So a lot of horses from that fast rock kind of family will have that bit of knee action. And he himself had a big good bit of knee action. So yeah, I think just it can help them when it comes to that kind of softer ground
Type of race. Keith, when you're watching unexposed horses, do you take notice of knee action as well?
Yeah, sometimes. I'm not as much of a ground punter as some, so I don't watch it all the time, but I do watch out some. Yeah, the really pronounced ones I will notice and I will take note of, and it is sort of something that you would take note of in this race if the ground comes up as soft as I think it might. The lads are obviously talking about ground for Eye of Heaven. I was convinced this would be going off short for the Norfolk as soon as it won at Newmarket, because they knew it was going to win that day. And obviously everything Mark Johnson's come out with since in anticipation of this race tells you exactly that they did indeed know that was going to win. The second and third finished fourth and first in the Windsor Castle on Wednesday there. Everything about it suggests this is an extremely good horse. If the ground undoes him, so be it. I just thought he was the horse that wins in Norfolk when I saw him win, and I'm going to stick with him. The one I would be scared of is the Learjet, but apart from that, he'll just be faster than them as long as he copes with the ground.
Okay, thank you, chaps. Four more races to come.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Day 4 Royal Ascot Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. And marking your card for another fantastic day's racing are Tom Siegel, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's James Ryan. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It's the Hardwick Stakes Group 2, in which the Derby winner Anthony Van Dyke heads the market. James, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, Anthony Van Dyke is our 15-8 favourite. Ellicam 5-2, Defoe 6-1, Hamish 7-1, Mirando 7-1 and 8-1 bar.
Keith, I look back on Derby winners' form figures after they won the Derby, and they're utterly atrocious. I mean, it's now getting to the point where it's actually unusual for a horse to win the Derby and then go on and win another race. It really is astonishing. But Anthony Van Dyke, I suppose, showed plenty last time in the old Corrie, didn't he? Do you think he can justify market favouritism here?
I wouldn't be backing him to, no. The thing about the Derby is that the best horse isn't winning it as much anymore, I don't think. Japan was the best horse in the Derby last year and looked it on the day, if you read between the lines a bit, and has gone on to be the best horse from the race. Cracksman got beaten in the Derby. We're getting to a point now where, yeah, I think we're having a spell where it's not always the best horse that wins the race, whereas it used to be the case that most of the time that was what happened. I think if any other five horses in the pile-up finish at the Derby last year had won, I don't think Anthony Van Dyke would even be favourite for this. So I wouldn't be, I won't be backing him. Alar Cam would be extremely interesting, but a mile 4 on testing ground is a real question mark. The one, 7-1, I don't know if there's bigger prices still available. There certainly was when I looked earlier, but Hamish each way, if it comes up soft, would be a really interesting one for me. He does look like a real steer. He obviously handles soft ground extremely well. You watched that race he won at York impressively in October. It was like he was running, levitating above the ground while everything else was floundering in the soft. So if it does come up testing, then you can definitely see him improving a bit more and finishing in the first three in a race that doesn't have an awful lot of depth for a group two.
Okay, Tom, I'm fascinated by Ellicombe because obviously there'll be a lot of people latching onto the fact that he was so close to Lord North at Haydock. But it's odd, isn't it? All of a sudden at five, he's getting jammed up to a mile and a half. What do you make of him?
I actually think he wants it. It's my opinion. My worry about him is the combination, as Keith said, of very soft ground, if it is very soft, and it's the round course, remember, which is very different to the straight course. I think he wants it. My slight concern about him is I don't think he's as good at Ascot as he is at York. I was disappointed with him last year. He ran third in the Wolverton, and Adabe was different class that day, and Adabe ran well yesterday. But I just didn't think he was quite as good there as he is at York, where he seems to reserve his best form for me. So at 7-2 or whatever price he was, I'm a little bit against. Once again, I like this race as a betting shape because I want to take on Anthony Van Dijk. He did win the Lingfield Derby trial on soft ground, but I think he's a fast ground horse deep down. To be honest, I thought once Kew Gardens was injured, he'd be running in the Gold Cup. I thought that's the sort of race that Anthony Van Dijk might win eventually. This is a good race. He's the right favourite. He is the right favourite because that form last time gives him every right to be favourite. But like the boys say, soft ground brings lots into it. Hamish, yes. Mirando, certainly, yes. Fanny Logan, certainly, yes, down the bottom. Fillies have a great record in these older horse races these days. Terribellum nearly won it, nearly won the Queen Anne we saw on the earlier day. I just like her preparation. The form of her Haydock win is not good enough, but she's had a run. It looks like this has been the plan. Gosden's the best trainer there is, and it's not even close. And I think she's just going to run above herself. Whether, you know, a few others have to underperform for her to win because on form she's not good enough. But I just expect her to put up a career best here. Well, I can't be sure of that with any of the others.
Okay, so we've got Hamish for Keith Melrose. We've got Fanny Logan for Tom Siegel. And we've got Who for James Ryan.
Yeah, to agree with Tom in a way that about Ellicombe, just about the stepping up and trip, I just think he's actually nearly been crying out for this for quite a while. And he settles well. The ground, I don't think, is as much a worry as regards to him actually staying. He just seems like kind of an endless galloper now that he's five. Even on his last run, he just looked like an endless galloper the way he was even staying on at the finish. I just think he's the one now that I've kind of settled on in what is probably a tricky enough race to kind of pin down one.
Okay, the 3:35 is the Commonwealth Cup, which has been such a fantastic addition. It's kind of one of those races that has been so good so quickly and established itself so quickly that it makes you wonder how we did without it. This year, possibly not a race as classy as we've enjoyed in recent years, but it's certainly wide open and full of intrigue. James, take us through the betting and then tell us who you think is going to win.
Yeah, Pierre Lapin for Roger Varian is our 7-2 favourite. Lopi Fernandez is 9-2. Kamari 5-1. Golden Horde 11-2. Wooded 7-1. Millall 8 and Tens Bar. I'm going to go for Wooded here. I just thought he was absolutely brilliant last time out in France for the Graffard team. And James Doyle takes the ride. But I just thought the way he picked up over 7 furlongs. He'd been running over 7 furlongs the whole way last year. And he was dropped to 6 furlongs and they were kind of going to go down a sprinting route. And like, I'm not sure what he beat, but the way he picked up, he did a really good time as well for what was good to soft ground. He loved the ground. He, similar to before, he has that bit of knee action that he'll go on it. And he has that kind of a prep, you know, ideally, essentially just a month ago, it's essentially the perfect prep is what you'd like going into a race like this. And the fact they're bringing him over kind of, I think, suggests that he's going to run well. And we've seen a bit of support from this morning, really. And I just think the ground and the preparation, and I just think he could be the real improver here by Wooden Bathory, who's obviously turned out to be a really, really good stallion.
Excellent. And I think we've got four places as well, haven't we, in this, James?
We do indeed, Bruce. Yep, so we're an extra place on this.
Smashing, and obviously that's available not just at Paddy Power, but also on the Racing Post app. Interesting old race, Tom, this, isn't it?
Yeah, like it. Good race again. Pierre Lapin on the ground, a bit worrying. First time out, haven't seen him. He's only run on fast ground. Love the horse. Think he's an absolute superstar. But whether he's going to win this first time up with the underfoot conditions, not sure. I thought Lope Fernandez ran a great race in the Irish Guineas. I'm a big fan of that form. I think the Irish Guineas was miles better than the English Guineas, and I think that form is pretty good. Whether he can bounce back so quickly, because it was only last week in a 6-furlong race, I don't know. I like Wooded. I do like Wooded. I think he's obviously been trained for the race. I like the fact that he's had a run. Also think we've been slagging off Wesley Ward here. I think Kimari's going to run really well. She ran really well in the Queen Mary last year on soft ground. She probably was a bit unlucky not to win in the Breeders' Cup. She was impressive on her comeback on turf. She's been doing some really good times, they tell me, in America. So my two against the field would be Kimari and Wooded.
Okay, and Keith, who do you like?
I like Wooded as well. It was two horses in the short build-up to Ascot this year that I thought, well, that'll win X race at Royal Ascot. And one was Eye of Heaven, and the other one was Wooded when I saw him win at Shanty. What happened in that race was quite interesting. All day at Shanty on the straight course, they've been coming up the stand side. And then in this pretext of Tidita, the Group 3, My Love's Passion, Christophe Soumillon was drawn high on My Love's Passion, went to the far rail and finished third. And every subsequent race, they all came up the far rail, because it was reckoned that that was obviously the one that by that stage of the day was better ground. So Wooded was sort of maybe on the wrong side that day. Won by 3.5 lengths from a well-regarded Judmont horse. My Love's Passion was beaten 5.5 lengths and went on to finish sixth in the Pouliche. I didn't think she had any chance of staying in the Pouliche. She's a very, very quick horse. So Wooded was extremely impressive considering what had all played out in that race. He's a big horse. He's going to keep improving. Obviously, with that sort of size as well, I like big horses on softer ground, generally speaking. I just think he's a really smashing horse, and is a bet at 7-1.
Excellent. Three votes for Wooded, and Tom is also having a side order of Kimari, the 4-10. It's the Queen's Vase. It's a Group 2 over 1.6 miles. 9 go to post. James, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, Born with Pride is our favourite here, 3-1. Berkshire Rocco, 130. Santiago, 130. Aldabaran 7-2, Noble Prize 11-2, On Guard 15-2, and 33's Bar.
Tom Siegel, who wins?
Probably Born with Pride, boringly. I don't like the Aiden pair. I just think his 3-year-old colts are needing a run to get them ready for the Derby and that. So I want to take on the Aiden pair. I think it's between Berkshire Rocco and Born with Pride. I think the ground swings it in the favour of Born with Pride, who was really good when she beat Peaceful, the Irish Guineas winner, on her debut at Newmarket last year. Berkshire Rocco does have a good chance, but I thought he had a really hard race behind English King. He went for, chased a strong pace and went for home a long way out. If he can bounce back off that, he has a good chance, because I'm a massive English King fan. But those would be my two. You have to throw in the top one, Aldabaran, into the mix as well. But he's got the blinkers on after a break. I think it's between the two. I'll go for Born with Pride, but it's not a race I'm going to get too stuck into, that's for sure.
Is English King your leading Derby fancy at the moment, Tom?
At the moment, yes, and it's not close. But I would be very interested if the O'Brien team ran Vatican City, yeah. If they ran Vatican City, I'd be very interested in him. He's got a miler's pedigree, but he doesn't run like a miler to me. I think they've got it the wrong way around. I think Mogul's a miler, and I think Vatican City's a mile and a half horse. But whether they think the same is probably unlikely.
Right, Keith, just the name, not the why. Who wins the Derby?
English King, I think.
Okay, and who wins the Queen's Vase? You're allowed to elaborate on that one.
Well, I basically agree with Tom in every sense. Because I like English King so much, I'd like to see a big run from Berkshire Rocco. But Born with Pride is the horse that I think will probably win this race. Kempton, she had an absolutely rotten trip at Kempton. I can excuse that one. Obviously, on debut, won a listed race first time up, beating the subsequent Irish Guineas winner. She should stay a mile six. She won't need it just now, but she probably needs a mile four. So I think she'll be fine over a mile six and is the likeliest winner.
Okay, great minds are thinking alike there, with Keith and Tom both liking the front two at the head of the market and just preferring Born with Pride. James, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm going to take a bit of a flyer on punctuation here for the Queen. If you want to see a horse that hasn't exaggerated knee action, this is one. Like, you go back and watch the Kempton win when it won by 11 lengths. Like, it just has a huge knee action. So I'm suggesting that the ground will definitely help after running on good to firm ground. over a mile two, which definitely looks too short for him now. He was quite disappointing that day, but he was quietly fancied in some areas in what was, you know, there was a pretty short price, and he was second or third favourite at 7-1. He's off a mark at 89, so he has a lot to find with these, but I just think the extra trip, the ground, and, you know, he's a big price at 33-1, so I'm willing to take a bit of a flyer on him when there probably are a couple of question marks about some of the others, although they should improve for their reappearance runs. At 33s, I'll stick a punctuation for the informed Andrew Balding team.
I like the reference to question marks when you're tipping punctuation. Excellent stuff.
Very good, that, wasn't it? Yeah. Very good.
Let's draw a full point after that one and move on to the 440, the concluding race on Friday. It's the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. It's a handicap over a mile and a half, and it's a damn tricky contest to conclude with. James, take it away with the betting.
Yeah, and we're extra places here as well, Bruce. And West End Charmer is our favourite at 11-2 for the Mark Johnson team. Durston 7-1, Dubai Future 9-1, Deja 9-1, Al Muffer 9-1, Medal Winner 9-1, and 10-1 bar.
Keith Melrose, what are your thoughts here? Have you cracked this one?
No. It's one of those races that's sort of so interesting that it's not. There's too many horses that are potentially going to improve that I couldn't go with one in particular and say, oh yeah, I'm going to have a good bet on that because I think it'll win sort of thing. It's a race that I'll be watching. I am a big fan of Good Birthday and think he wants a trip. I may, if a price comes up, have a bit of a FOMO bet on him because I like some of his handicap form, third in the London Gold Cup and the Cambridgeshire last year. But beyond that, I probably won't be getting involved.
I love a FOMO bet, fear of missing out. Those horses that you've followed and followed and followed, and we saw that yesterday, absolutely heartbreaking. Poor old Paul Keighley. Dark Vision, you put Dark Vision up, didn't you, Keith?
No, it was Tom. I put it. So yeah, I did, but so didn't Tom as well?
Yeah, I did. You and Tom both put him up, and I said at the time, I said, Paul Keighley's bound to tip this, and he didn't. And I texted him, I said, what are you doing? You always tip this. He goes, I know. He goes, I've just lost the faith. He goes, you know what happened, don't you? And sure enough, he won.
Well,
so
your keels will be relieved to know that's the first time I've ever backed the horse.
Right then, James. Keith fancies so many here that he can't single one out, although he may have a little on Good Birthday. What is your approach to this one going to be?
Yeah, I've been following Durston for quite a while, and I just think he's still a horse that could progress now. He's being gelded as well, so I'm kind of hoping that forget to kind of eke out a little bit extra improvement. But he was behind Sir Ron Priestley that day in Goodwood in the July meeting and just ran an absolute blinder, really stayed on over a mile four. And then after that, he on soft ground over what was almost a mile six behind Technician and Mirando, and what, you know, it's a pretty good form. He was rated 94 there. Obviously, Mirando was 113, and Technician now is obviously second favourite for the Gold Cup. So the fact he's being gelded, he's off 100 here. I don't have any issues for him about the ground. You know, buying See the Moon advert, Nando Mare, like that's just stamina and soft ground all day long.
Stable I know form. Part of them,
yeah, I mean, he'd be a little bit concerned, but like Armani ran an absolute blinder yesterday. And, you know, he's been having a lot of horses. Like Mohegan Heights, I thought, ran really well as well. Like, they're all being placed. They just haven't been winning. So I'm not necessarily the biggest believer in stable form when the horses are actually still kind of running well. So I'm not too concerned about that. But, yeah, I just think he still could be a horse that's very progressive and potential, the old saying, group horse and a handicap. But I just think the conditions actually suit him. He's been gelded and he has kind of the form in the book. Would be one of the reasons that I'd be very keen on him.
Okay, and finally, Tom Siegel.
Big fan of Durston. Not a big fan of his trainer's golf swing, that's for sure. Worst golf swing in the history of the world. But I am slightly worried about him first time up. I know, look, David Simcock, as James quite rightly pointed out, has had three horses run really well. I think he probably was a bit unlucky not to win the Ascot Stakes on the first day. His horse flew into fourth at the end and might and probably should have won. But I'm just a little bit worried about him first time up in a race of this class. I would prefer I know these ones haven't run for these are first time up as well, but Deja, Peter Chappell Hyam's horse, came from a massive break to beat a good all-weather horse, Soto Sizzler, on his debut last year after a massive break. The Chappell Hyam horse ran really well in the Ribblesdale. The maiden winner ran really well to be third or fourth in the Ribblesdale at the start of the week. He has got lots of soft ground form. He stays really well. And it's just the type of horse I like. No one knows about him, really. But I think he could be really good, and he'd be my one. Deja. The other one I quite like is Johnny Drama. Sylvester D'Souza has chosen Good Birthday, but I think if he had his time again, he might be looking at Johnny Drama, who loves soft ground. And if it is soft, I think he might go well at a big price too.
Great stuff, lads. Thank you very much indeed. Your last task is to give me your best bet on day four. Keith Melrose.
At the prices, it would have to be Wooded.
Wooded, and that's in the 3:35, the Commonwealth Cup. James Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to row in there as well. 3:25,
you can do that, that's fine. Yeah, two votes for Wooded in 3:35, and Tom.
Well, I'll take a flyer on Deja in the last, Bruce. It's a big price, and I just think he'll go well.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed, lads. All the best of luck with your tips. Thank you for listening. Best of luck with your bets. Don't forget, do please gamble safely and responsibly. And if you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. It's been a great week, and probably the best card of the week is saved for Saturday. So do please join us tomorrow for another Racing Postcast, looking ahead to the fifth and final day of Royal Ascot.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.